Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the restoration from desolation as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn in our Bibles now to Ezekiel 36 as we continue our study in this very fascinating prophecy. In chapter 36, Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Now, this is the second time he prophesied to the mountains of Israel. The first time was back in chapter 6, and he was prophesying the desolations that would come to the mountains of Israel and to the cities because they had built the high places on the mountains and worshiped the false images, idols, and gods. And thus he spoke about the mountains being made desolate. That prophecy was fulfilled, and the mountains of Israel remained desolate for 19 centuries. Now again he prophesies to the mountains of Israel, but this prophecy has to do with a work of God in making now the desolate mountains inhabited. And so there's quite a contrast between this prophecy in chapter 36 and the prophecy in chapter 6, where the desolation of the mountains was described and now the restoration from the desolation. Say, thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, and they have swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are the infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, and to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate waste and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey, a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, against all of Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with the despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, say to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are round about you shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains, it took him quite a while to get to the message to the mountains, but he finally made it. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all of the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so the restoration of the nation Israel is here being prophesied. And if you go over to Israel today, surely you can see the fulfillment of these prophecies as the waste places are now inhabited, as they have built so many cities, as they have planted so many beautiful orchards and cultivated the fields, and this land that laid wasted and desolate for many centuries has now been reclaimed The marshy valleys have been drained and have become very fertile, fruitful fields. And so it's exciting to take this 36th chapter of Ezekiel in your lap and go over to Israel and see how God has fulfilled this particular prophecy concerning the mountains of Israel. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. They shall possess thee. Thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. For thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave the nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, and now God is telling the reason why the land became desolate for so long, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of the land. But I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Now the Lord is telling the reason why the dispersion took place and they were scattered is because of the blood that they had shed in the land, because of their worship of idols, and God had scattered them into the many different countries. But God said when they were scattered, they profaned God's name. That is, because of their actions and attitudes, they caused people to hate and curse God. They said, oh, these are the people of God, and look at what they are doing. So you remember when David sinned with Bathsheba. When the prophet rebuked David for the sin, one of the indictments that the prophet made against him is he said, you have caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. You see, these people were to be God's representatives. God intended that they represent him, but they misrepresented him. And thus people were cursing God because of their actions. You say, oh, that's terrible, but wait a minute. You are now God's representatives. You see, you go by the name of a Christian. And as a Christian, you represent God. But if you're out there ripping off people or cheating people or you're out there lying or deceiving or getting involved in these kind of things, then you are misrepresenting God and people are cursing God and blaspheming God because of what you are. You see, God has been so misrepresented by those people who were called by his name. All the way through, people have a false concept of God because people supposedly representing God have so misrepresented God that people say, well, if they're a Christian, you know, then I don't want anything to do with it. I don't need it. It is an awesome thing to realize that we are God's representatives and people are drawing their opinions of God from what they see in us. Now, as a representative of God, God holds me responsible for how I represent him. God doesn't appreciate being misrepresented, as Moses found out. For when Moses went out before the people, angry, and struck the rock with his rod and said, "Must I strike this rock again and give you water?" Though the water came, God said, "Moses, I want to talk to you. Moses, I can't let you go into the promised land." "Why, Lord?" "That's been the ambition of my life." "Moses, you failed to represent me before the people. You misrepresented me out there. You went out there all angry in a huff, smiting the rock in anger. I'm not angry with them, Moses. They think I am because of what you did. They think I'm upset with them and angry. I'm not upset and angry with them, Moses. I know they need water. I want to give them water. But they think I'm angry and upset because you're my representative and you went out there in the huff and did your little thing. And so, Moses, I just can't let you take the people into the land." And Moses was robbed of his lifelong ambition because he failed to represent God there at the water of Meribah. Now, you are God's representative, and that's a heavy responsibility to be God's representative, but that's what we are, and the people are drawing their conclusion of Christianity, of Jesus Christ, from what they see you do. That's heavy. God help us, that we will be proper representatives of our Lord, that people will come to know that He is so loving, that He is so kind, that He wants to help, that He'll go out of His way to help. And let us, O God, be a true representation of what You are to the world around us, who so desperately need to know the truth about God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "You are my living epistle, and you are known and read of all men. People may never pick up a Bible to crack its pages. They may never read the Bible, but they're reading your life. And they're drawing their opinions of Jesus Christ by what they see in you." Now, God said when Israel was scattered into the nations, they profaned the name of the Lord. They caused people to hate God. They didn't represent God in those nations where they were scattered. And so people were cursing God and cursing the name of God. And so God now declares, "Look, not for your sake I'm going to bring you back. It's not because you're so good or you're deserving, but for my name's sake, I'm going to do it. My name that has been profaned among the heathen." And thus saith the Lord God, verse 22, "I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you've profaned. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." So he refers to this time when he will be sanctified in them before the eyes of the world. We'll get to that when we get to chapter 38. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all of your filthiness, from all of your idols. I will cleanse you. Also, I'll give you a new heart. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Jeremiah prophesied the day was going to come when God would no longer write his law upon tables of stone, but upon the fleshly tablets of our heart. God is saying, "I'm going to take out the stony heart. I'm going to put in a heart of flesh." That is, God will make his will known to us by planting in our heart his desires and his purposes. Now, you know the glorious thing about serving the Lord and following the Lord, that you find that this particular psalm is true. The Bible said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Well, what that psalm doesn't say, but what is also true, that as you begin to delight yourself in the Lord begins to redirect the desires of your heart according to that which he wants and according to that which he has purposed, so that doing the will of God becomes really the most glorious thing of your entire existence. It becomes the fulfillment of your dreams and of your desires. And it's marvelous. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We see people going around talking about, oh, God laid this heavy burden on me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up under it, you know. Wait a minute. If you've got a heavy burden that's pushing you down into the ground, you better take a close look at that burden. It didn't come from him. He said, my burden is light. We take upon ourselves many times things that the Lord didn't really put on us, or we let men put things on us and pressure us into things that aren't really of God. I think of all of the poor people who have been pressured by their churches in pledges. Especially, they say, let's make a faith pledge. That's even worse. Because there are many people who are straining under a sense of obligation to God because I made a pledge. And they're straining and being pressed by it. And it's become a heavy yoke on them, a heavy burden. It's not of the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Peter said, let's not put a heavy yoke on the people, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. And yet the heavy yokes that men will put on you. But when the yoke gets hard and the burden is heavy, know that it's not the Lord's. It's something that you've taken on yourself, or if you allowed people to put on you, but not really from God. God puts his desires now in our hearts so that we can honestly say with Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. I don't know how many times during the week I just kick back and just start praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for all that he's done for me, for the joy and the blessedness of the life that I have. It's just overwhelming to me. The goodness and the blessing of God. And every once in a while, I just go, oh, no. And if anybody's around, they say, what's happening? Oh, I'm just thinking about how good God is. Unreal. Beautiful, you know. My son said, Dad, why don't you retire, you know? You don't have to keep going 16 hours a day. Why don't you retire? Kick back, Dad. Why don't you move to Hawaii and retire? You can do it. I said, but what would I do? I love so much doing what I'm doing. My wife gets after me because I want to come out here on my day off. She says, you always figure out a way to go out there on your day off. But it's just such a joy, such a blessing. For God has written his law in my heart. It's just the delight and the joy of life to be doing that which God has in mind for you to do. No heavy burden, no big strain. It's a delight, it's a joy. And so God says, I will write, I'll give them a new heart, heart of flesh, take away that heart of stone. And I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because God's Spirit is in me. That power of his Spirit to do his statutes, to keep his judgments. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I also will save you from all of your uncleanness. I will call for the corn. I will increase it. I won't lay any famine upon you. I'll multiply the fruit of the tree, increase the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Not because you're so deserving or you're so good, but it's just God's grace. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and be confounded for what you have done, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I also will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Oh, the Sharon Valley, the Sharon Plains, the Valley of Megiddo, waste, desolate, marshlands. They're like the Garden of Eden, so lush and so beautiful. This prophecy is fulfilled. You can go over and just travel around Israel and see how verdant and productive that little land is.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 36 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in His love and grace, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you. May you be enriched in Christ Jesus in all things. And may your understanding of God's love be increased day by day as you begin to fathom the depths, experience the heights of God's love and grace and mercies towards you through Jesus, our Lord.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
For years, Pastor Chuck was asked thousands of questions.
This new guy that my mom married, he thinks that the Christian beliefs are foolish, and I was wondering if that's going to affect my mom's walk.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to fight the addiction of smoking, and are those things going to keep me from going in the rapture?
Is it okay to use your tithe and give it to someone who's going on a mission trip instead of giving it directly to church?
The Word for Today is pleased to present an ebook called Biblical Counseling by Chuck Smith, listing over 200 topics that include Pastor Chuck's commentary and the scripture references he used. Topics include addiction, business relationships, depression, lawsuits, sexuality, training children, and so much more. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. Or you can call 1-800-272-9673.